August blends and Methodist Queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast. Ooh, it's good to be back.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rebellion Radio, episode number 22 for May 20th, 2012. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bolova.
And I'm Elena Thomas.
And the prodigal son and daughter have returned.
Yeah.
Alex and Elena are back, everybody, so give them a big hand.
Yeah, I've been lost in the magical world of musical theater.
I've been lost in the magical world of time differences in school.
Okay. Yes, Alex and Elena are back. April isn't able to make it because of technical difficulties, but that's all right. We got a good show for you. No, it's a great show, actually.
It's fantastic.
We got some emails. We're going to continue Chapter Chat for Catching Fire. And we have a new addition to the Hrock segment that I'm not sure even these guys know about. Do you guys know about this?
Well,
no.
I'm scrolling to the bottom of the page. Yes, I do.
Okay, don't scroll to the bottom.
I'm scrolling.
Okay, so news.
Woohoo!
Let's go to news. So the news this week has been pretty horrible. Now that the movie's over, there's that kind of period before all the casting for the next one begins. That's just this dead space. So the only thing that I can say is keep voting for the Hunger Games at the MTV Movie Awards. I really wanted to win something. I've been voting, so you should too. And Alex, you were not here when we discussed the replacement of Gary Ross for Catching Fire. He will be replaced by Francis Lawrence, and you have not been able to talk about it yet. We want you to weigh in right now. Go for it.
Okay, I think it's going to come as no surprise that I am very disappointed. I mean, yeah, Gary, as I point out, you know, I guess three episodes ago at this point, that Gary Ross was a great director. Sure, the shaky cam thing was distracting and a bit disastrous, but the idea and, like, the goal of his, you know, series looked really good. It looked like he was on a very good path. And so, I would really be disappointed by anybody taking up the reins unless it was, like, I don't know, Martin Scorsese or somebody like that. But Francis Lawrence, he seems like he's a pretty new director. I mean, I've only heard of one of his films, I Am Legend, which was very popular and got relatively good reviews, but he's only done one other movie and a few music videos for, you know,
Two other movies.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
And a few music videos. So, I guess I'll have to go back and watch some of his other things, but it might be good to have a music video director in here. I mean, I don't think we're going to lose a lot of style. In fact, we might get a lot more. This may be a more artistic film than the last one. Hopefully we won't have the shaky cam again. So I think once people are cast, then I can start making more judgments on him because, you know, he's a bit at least in charge of that. So I need to see a bit more of his vision, but probably next few weeks I'll probably watch I Am Legend again.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much what I thought.
Yeah,
so,
we're twins that way, aren't we?
Twinsies, yeah. Definitely. But, yes, that does it for the news, per se. Now we're going to move into emails and comments. Be sure to email in your thoughts to comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. And remember, we read all the emails, even if we don't reply to any of them. That would just be insane. But we do read them all, so be sure to email in. Elena, why don't you take the first email?
Okay. This person says, "Hello from Thailand. Yes, you guys have fans in Thailand. Give me a shout-out if you can on the next show, then. Thumbs up for you guys. 21 years of age, but so insightful about things. I'm glad you watch lots of movies and appreciate great OST.
Original soundtracks?
Original soundtracks.
Bangkok, Thailand has a huge fan base of The Hunger Games. All three books sold out in a week of the release. No one laughed in the cinema at the premiere here. Everyone is so quiet and pays attention. I personally read the books twice, both The Hunger Games and Catching Fire. I also watched the movie two times as well. Keep on your great keep up the great work. The new director will make the film so dark since he did The Legend Constantine. However, let's give him a chance. I personally love the haunting soundtrack when Katniss is walking in the woods when she met Gale. Oh, by the way, tell April I like her voice. Sherry.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. April, Sherry likes her voice. So, yes, thank you for writing in from Thailand. So, Alex, what is the next email?
So our next email comes from Eleanor, and she says, in the last episode, you were discussing how Suzanne Collins has based a lot of things on the Romans and Latin, and I thought of another similarity. The Romans also used to make themselves throw up so that they could eat more food at feasts and parties. You're also discussing what you thought that the Victor's Village was like. For some weird reason, I imagine Victor's Village is a wide street that has huge golden houses along it, and when the sun sets, the whole street is dazzling. I think of Katniss's house as right next to Haymitch's house and Peeta's house further along. There might be something seriously wrong with my imagination, but oh well. From Eleanor. So yeah,
thank
please
you,
design the sets for Catching Fire. Sounds very nice.
Yes, we were talking about what Victor's Village looked like last episode, so people wrote in with their thoughts. Next email comes from Sparky, and Sparky says, hey guys, I find it hilarious how in a few episodes you say things like happy 21st birthday to us and over 2 decades of Rebellion Radio. It cracks me up every time. I'm glad that Hunger Games got so many nominations for the MTV Movie Awards. It had 2 more than Harry Potter, which both amazed and angered me. I think that Effie's transformation deserves to win, considering the opponents. But it annoys me that Harry Potter wasn't included in that category. Seriously, Griphook, the Goblin, and Voldy's nose aren't transformations? But that's a rant for another podcast, so I will move on now. I think that Jennifer honestly has no chance against Emma based on the fact that she has basically held the trio's acting together in the movie and the whole movie series in general. But Josh just might have a chance against Dan. I mean, yeah, Dan's Harry Potter, but honestly, his acting wasn't the best in some scenes, and in some it just stinks, while Josh did very well the whole Hunger Games movie. I agree that Harry Potter will win best film, but hey, at least Hunger Games won't have to go against them again. That's a good point. Also, I had a genius moment when listening to the part about snow melting the fire. Gale is a strong wind, and gales can spread wildfires quickly. That's awesome. In the series, Gale is always trying to spread the rebellion, which was set off by Katniss, the girl on fire.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, Gale was spreading the fire of the rebellion. I bet you guys already knew this, but it made me feel smart. No, I definitely did not know that. That's awesome.
I thought we dug too deep into symbolism.
No, but that makes sense. Okay, well, we'll talk about
it's
that at the
is.
End. Alright, here we go. Okay, awkward ending. I stink at writing endings, so I'll just steal yours. Thanks for making such an awesome podcast, guys. Fight the Capitol and the Hunger, join the Rebellion, Sparky. Thank you very much, Sparky. That is genius.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody last time was talking about snow melting fire, and I thought that was great. Gale spreading fire.
But what would PETA be?
Well, you see,
PETA
means of like bread and something, and PETA is the bread of the Capitol.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I'll put down the spot.
Wow. Oh, I love these little stretches of symbolism. It's just so
hooray.
Fun.
I bet Suzanne Collins had no intention whatsoever.
Well, maybe she... Well, she'll claim to. It'll be like, did you do this on purpose?
Oh, sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done. But, yes, thank you very much for those emails, guys. Be sure to email in if you have anything to say. So, now we're going to move into the segment that you've all been waiting for again. And that is Chapter Chat, where we will be discussing Catching Fire chapters 3 and 4. So Elena, why don't you start us off with chapter 3?
Alright, so after Snow leaves, Katniss is stunned. She worries about Snow's threats and how to convince him that she is in love with PETA. The problem is that Katniss doesn't really know if she's in love with PETA either. So she doesn't want her mother to suspect anything, so she pretends that everything is fine. And Katniss then realizes that she can only talk to Haymitch about what happened with Snow. So, Katniss's prep team then shows up to get her ready for the tour. So Venia, Octavia, and Flavius fuss over her and jabber about the Quarter Quell. And this is where we're kind of introduced to the idea of the Quarter Quell. And it happens every 25 years, and it's this awful kind of anniversary. And Katniss and PETA have to mentor some sort of poor tribute who gets chosen to go in. And there's double the tributes, by the way, if you haven't read this book, and why are you listening to this podcast? Anyway, and Haymitch was the one who actually won the last Quarter Quell.
Right. So I think, I mean, as sick as that was, I kind of thought it was cool how every 25 years they have this special twist to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of bad, but, like, it's kind of cool.
And also kind of gave purpose to it, the last book being the 74th Hunger Games. When I first picked up the book, I'm like, 74, that's a random number.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she must have, like, planned that
definitely.
Out.
Yeah, definitely.
But twice as many tributes. That's insane.
Well,
four from each district.
Yeah. So Katniss then gets to meet with Cinna, and Cinna is helping her pretend that Katniss is learning how to design clothes, since every victor needs to have some kind of interesting career. So Katniss just chooses that. So then the victory tour begins, and Katniss and Peeta blissfully run into each other's arms in the snow, and they kiss passionately, and of course all of this is filmed, and the second the cameras go out, then they, you know, stop. So then Katniss and Peeta make their way to a train to take them on the tour, and Haymitch also has to come. And so that night, Katniss goes to meet with Haymitch, and so Haymitch is drunk, but he's, you know, at least, like, conscious and stuff. And so Katniss tells Haymitch that she needs his help to get through it all. He says that she'll have to put on a show for the rest of her life. She's a victor, and that means she can't slip into oblivion. She's always going to have to pretend to be in love with Peeta. And then that's when Katniss realizes just how much play acting is ahead of her. And
okay.
That's the end of chapter 3.
That was short.
It's a really short chapter.
A very short chapter.
I mean, really.
No, I mean, just not much happened.
This chapter is just exposition, really.
Yeah.
The rest of the book, so.
Ooh, I do have a question. So, how many, what's the word? Like, the advisors, the mentors, how many mentors can there be per district?
That's a good question.
I don't think there's a limit.
Is it just one? Because with 12, the only surviving winner was Haymitch, so of course he's the only mentor, but. Is it, like, two per? Is it supposed to be? And, like, would they alternate off every year?
Yeah.
Like, would it be Katniss and Peeta 1 year, and then, like, Haymitch and Peeta 1 year?
I guess that would probably be, you know, groups of two rotating.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you probably can't, for some of these, you know, better districts, you can't exactly have, you know, 30 people teaching these two kids.
All right. All right, class. Alex, why don't you take it away with chapter 4.
So Haymitch tries to console Katniss, then they retreat to their rooms. Katniss thinks about what Haymitch said and how she has to really, really act like she's in love with Peeta. Forever. She thinks ahead to a life with Peeta and worries that any children they have would end up in the arena too. She feels trapped and spends the night trying to strategize about any possible ways to get out. Then she has to go to breakfast before they make her initial appearance in District 11. Katniss and Effie are the only ones at breakfast. It's all just feeling forced and depressing. Then the prep team works on Katniss some more. Fun! So everyone gathers for lunch, but Katniss isn't hungry. They make an unscheduled stop, and Katniss snaps at Effie, who's getting on her nerves. She goes outside for a break, and Peeta comes to join her. They apologize to one another, and they start trying to get to know each other again. Katniss doesn't mention her worries about snow. Then Peeta shows her the paintings he's been working on, which depict the truth of what happened during the games. Katniss can barely look at them, but Peeta says he has to make them because he can't stop thinking about what happened.
That must suck. Drawing pictures of Kato's mangled body.
Yeah. I wonder who will paint those in Catching Fire, if they choose to keep that in.
I think they'll probably cut that out.
That's too bad.
The whole painting.
Actually, I bet if they painted them, they could sell it at, like, some auction for charity.
Yeah, exactly. Some watercolors.
Yeah. Maybe even just have Josh Hutcherson paint them.
Or just, yeah... I'm sure he's a great painter. They could sell, like, a big book called Peeta's Paintings.
They could just have all the doodles that Josh Hutcherson had, like, off stage.
Yeah.
Anyways, so they arrive in District 11, and it seems so fertile than 12, but also more closed off. It seems way bigger than 12, too. So Peeta and Katniss have to get ready for the event. After they're dressed, Effie tells them the plan for the day. They will give speeches at the Justice Building. Soon the convoy arrives, and Peeta and Katniss are taken out in front of a large crowd, along with the district's mayor. People clap for them, and Katniss gets ready to do some acting. It's harder than she thought to see the families of Thresh and Rue, District 11 tributes who die in the arena. As if you didn't know. Spoilers. So PETA helps her get through the speeches that they are required to make. Then PETA shocks everyone by saying he and Katniss owe the District 11 tributes so much that they will donate some of their arena wings to Thresh and Rue's families every year, forever. So Katniss is so impressed that she kisses PETA.
Aww.
So they are given flowers and a plaque. The ceremony is almost over, but then Katniss locks eyes with one of Rue's sisters and realizes she still has to do something to show her regret for Rue's death. She speaks impulsively and gives her thanks to both Rue and Thresh. She says that she sees Rue all around her in the world. An old man whistles a special sign, the Mockingjay theme Rue sang in the arena, and then the entire crowd salutes Katniss. Katniss thinks she should feel overcome with sadness, but instead she's afraid. This looks like she's inciting rebellion again. That's not what she meant to do. She tries to undo what just happened, but she doesn't know how. She and PETA are rushed off stage. They pause because they left flowers behind, but then they see something that they weren't supposed to see. The man who whistled is executed on the spot.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay, so a lot of things to talk about in this chapter. First of all, I think this scene was pretty much transferred to the previous movie.
Yeah, more or less.
We pretty much saw it, though, right? Like, we pretty much saw them raising the whistles and all that.
Yeah.
Like, if they do it again, I feel like it won't be as impactful.
Right.
Like, they might have to do something a little differently, you know? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the exact same thing, but yeah, it is incredibly similar. Just, yeah, I guess this could be cut out, and, you know, they could just talk about, oh, you know, you being there is inciting rebellion or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, I don't want them to cut it out, because you still have to see the impact of after the games, post-games.
Right.
But they should change it up somehow. I don't know
yeah,
how.
It just feels a bit superfluous.
Yeah, repetitive. That's the word. Okay, so also, man executed on the spot. This is like totalitarian, like just like the classic. Well, not the classic, but like.
I mean, this is like the first like real act of violence we've seen outside the Hunger Games, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm looking for. It's the first time we've truly seen how like dictative. The government.
We've
is.
Heard about like AVOXes and we've heard about other things beforehand, but we haven't actually seen it necessarily. So, and I think this is definitely the beginning where they start to build up and like give more anticipation with how all the districts are rebelling. And throughout this entire book, there's all these rumors of rebellion and stuff. And this isn't rebellion in and of itself, but it's, you know, kind of leading up to it.
Yeah, exactly. And Snow might get the wrong idea, because she always does these things and doesn't know the consequences.
Yeah, I mean, for all that, Katniss, I guess, is a good leader and, you know, a strong hero, she makes some really bad decisions. Like, she's
yeah,
really
I mean, like,
incompetent from the crowd, isn't she?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be that harsh, but, like, I agree, she, like, doesn't know what she's... Okay, I guess incompetent is the right word. She doesn't know what she's thinking.
It's not to say that she's saying bad things. It's just... she is terrible at planning these things, and she's always like, oh, I don't want to say anything. I'm just going to be quiet. But when anything actually leaves her mouth, it usually ends up, like, causing a lot of problems.
You know what it's like? It's like a celebrity who like, speaks in interviews without their agent telling them what
to
say.
Yes, exactly.
Or what their press publicist or whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. She just kind of like goes unscripted per se.
Yep, and always goes wrong.
Horribly.
Which
wrong.
Is actually kind of funny if you think about it. Like, yeah, bad things are happening, but at the same time, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of ironic that some like the main hero, the person supposed to be leading the rebellion, is really not doing too good of a job, at least initially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it just kind of shows how the majority of the work for the Rebellion wasn't really done by Katniss, necessarily. I mean, she showed up and she was, like, on screen and stuff for everything and for everyone, but I think it really was a lot of the people behind it, like Beatty and, like, Coin. And, I mean, this is all, you know, in Mockingjay, but
yeah. And, I mean,
the majority of the work was everyone else behind her.
I mean, isn't Katniss really just a walking propaganda figure at this point, or at least later in the series?
Well, I mean, she's just like a symbol of hope.
Is she a walking? She's not propaganda, per se.
Yeah.
She's, what's the word? She's the poster girl.
Poster boy.
Poster girl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that she's, like, just a poster girl, because she actually does do quite a bit. She's like the catalyst, sort of, for the whole rebellion. Like, it was all set up.
The Katnistalist.
Oh.
Oh!
Wow.
Hmm. Wow.
You're welcome.
So.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the majority of these, like, of Catching Fire and Mockingjay, yeah, she does a great job when she's actually, like, fighting. But, yeah, she's... I guess she makes a good poster girl, but, yeah, don't let her talk.
Okay, two things. One, somebody write a song about the Hunger Games called Poster Girl.
Oh, my.
And two, we're calling this episode Katnissalist.
Oh, my.
I'll figure out how to exactly merge those words, but it will happen. Good stuff. Anything else?
I guess not.
No.
Alex? Okay. Alright. So that concludes chapters 3 and 4 for Catching Fire. If you have any thoughts on the chapters we just discussed, anything about the execution or whatever you want to talk about, email us in. Or if you want to email us in about chapters 5 and 6 for next episode, we do appreciate those and we will read off your thoughts on the show. Now we will move into the final segment of the day, and that is Hrock. So for Hrock, or Hunger Games Rock, we close out the show each week with a musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think fits well with the Hunger Games. So finally, it's my week again, and this week my pick is a song called Oraculum by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. And as usual, I always play original soundtrack songs, because nobody else does. So this is from the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo soundtrack, and I don't know, I feel like the characters are kind of similar, first of all. What's her name? Elizabeth Sanders from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, if anybody's seen that. And Katniss, I mean, it's kind of a stretch, but they're just kind of these female, like, really kind of, like, breaking gender barriers and whatnot. When you listen to it, it's not like any other song you probably heard. It's, when I first heard it, I was like, whoa. It kind of sounds like someone's going through a mental breakdown, and I kind of imagine this, like, post-games for Katniss or Peeta, or maybe even Haymitch. I feel like it's kind of like a Haymitch song, but when you hear it, it's definitely going to have, like, a mental impact on you. So, Oraculum by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. Alex, have you heard this
Actually,
soundtrack?
No, I've been meaning to.
Yeah, it's the same guys that did The Social Network, so that's how I kind of enjoyed that. So, announcement. We are now introducing Fanhrock.
Woo! Woo!
Fanhrock is all one word, of course, continuing the tradition of weird names for the music segment. But Fanhrock is, you know, I think we've been putting this off for a while, but it's where you guys, the fans, can submit your own songs to be played on the show at the end of the episode. So, just a few things to say about that. First off, if you have submitted a song in the past saying this would be good for Hrock, please submit those again if you want to, because we're not going to go back and dig through them. So we're starting this right as of now. So if you want to send in a song, be sure to send in, like, okay, here's my fan Hrock submission or whatever. And the way it'll work is we'll alternate each week. One week it'll be a host, one week it'll be a fan Hrock, and so on and so forth. So, if you could keep it one song per listener for at least, like, a couple episodes, so nobody, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can't play every single song in the world, but one song every so often, and we'll fit it in there somehow. So, and also include a YouTube link so that we could easily find the song. Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah. Please submit good music. I'm looking for new bands.
Yeah, we definitely want to hear some, add, like, people do this already, but just to, for everybody else, add in your little thing of, like, how it connects to the Hunger Games, you know, like,
Yeah, don't just, like, give us a song and be like, here's a song, bye.
Here's rock, or, like, you know, just tell us why it connects and we'll read that off too.
But don't give us, like, a 1,000 long word email about why it is. Anyway.
Well, you can.
You can, but I won't read it. Sorry.
Oh, and please no explicit songs either. We can't really read it that well.
No, we can't. So if you have an explicit song, try to get a clean copy. That would be appreciated.
If not, we won't play it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of bend the rules if there's, like, one use of a small word, but... Anywho, Elena, why don't you read off the plugs for the week?
Plugs? Okay. So, be sure to visit RebellionRadioPodcast.com for everything about the show. You'll find handy links to our iTunes and Tumblr, and you can stay updated through our Facebook and Twitter, both that are at /RRPodcast. And you can discuss with other listeners in the comments. And, of course, you can contact us for anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com.
Indeed.
Yay.
And we always say this, iTunes review is very important.
Of course.
We just passed our 100th written review.
Yay!
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. And if you haven't already, be sure to do so. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening. I'm Hurley Thomas.
I'm Alex Volva.
And I'm Elena Thomas.
Fight the Capitol, end the hunger, join the rebellion. Oh, yes, just another warning. The rock song for the week is rather long, so if you don't quite want the full Tracker Jacker mental effect, just skip to the bloopers, because the bloopers are good this week. But enjoy.
mental breakdown music.
Oh, if you listen to that song, just listen to it. It's crazy. It's cray.
There's no Hello. Business like show business like no business I know.
Oh, speaking of singing, somebody was asking on our Twitter about the bet about if Katniss was inside or outside the arena.
What? When?
Remember we made the bet on that like shot of the trailer where we were like wondering if Katniss was inside or outside of the arena?
And
which shot?
And I lost.
Oh,
remember
yes!
That?
So early, you had to sing.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Oh, choose your song.
We'll save that for later.
No. We should replace Rock with Hurley's solo.
What song?
I don't know.
How about, oh, I know, either Eyes Open or, Safe and Sound.
No, you should do the Call Me Maybe Baby song.
No, anything but that song. Please.
That
song. Okay, so we'll tell people to like write in with what song they want me to sing, and then we'll like decide.
Excellent.
You should say
excellent.
The song
that'd be
kind of
fun.
Said.
All right. So where are we
in the chat? Try to get a clean.
This is a family show.
Clean. This is a family podcast. We have
the
parents listening.
Podcast.
I like to think that people of all ages listen. Grandpas and grannies.
Little newborn babies.
Right as they exit the womb. Here you go, Rebellion Radio.
No, beforehand. Just like stick headphones on the mom's stomach when she's pregnant.
There you go.
Right, exactly.
They do that with...
Pregnant mothers, please do that. Get a big thing
I don't think the next generation would be good if we recommended that.
No.
Oh, a generation raised on my words. That would be one messed up place. Anywho...